Today on We Really Like Musicals and We Have Opinions About Them, so we made this podcast to tell you our opinions about them, parentheses, the musicals. We're talking about Repo, the Genetic Opera. If you're looking for things you see in a graveyard, then come to the opera tonight. We've got infected people, we've got Zydrate. It's a thankless job, but hey, it gets you gold. If revenge is a dish best served through genetics, then our podcast is a dish best served with the theme song. Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to this week's episode. It's the second week of October, and we're doing it. We're doing horror musicals. That's what we're doing.
I'm getting chills over here.
Why?
I just literally got a chill. So spooky. I'm scared.
We're talking about Repo, the Genetic Opera this week, aka Surgery Addiction. I'm James, by the way.
And I'm Elise.
And the person who gave us that alternate title is at Mikey Kylie, for sure. I mean, no denying it.
For sure is in the name?
No, Mikey Kylie. And I'm just saying, that just sounds like Mikey Kylie. If I know Mikey Kylie.
So him.
So Surgery Addiction. That's what we're going to talk about this episode. I want to get surgery.
Really?
After I saw this musical, I thought, I don't like the way I look. I gotta change something,
mm-hmm.
like my speech.
Yeah,
I gotta get a better mouth. Transplant that. But hey, if I get a mouth transplant and then I can't pay for it, the Repo Man's gonna come and get me.
He sure will. That's something we've learned from this movie. But I will tell you, this movie is set in the future,
right.
So we don't currently have this problem. But we could.
Good point. I will sleep better at night. This is a horror musical, so it's made to scare your little pants off, you know? But now that I know it's in the future, I mean, what am I worried about?
You know, your children might have to deal with this, but...
My Destiny's Child?
Yeah.
Question? Oh, thanks, people that
voted?
Thanks, people, yes, that voted in the poll on our Twitter.
Vote in the election, at least vote in our poll.
Yeah, you know, last episode we asked, what do you think of when you hear the word question? And just a thrilling poll on Twitter.
Basically, I think that Tell Me What You Think About Me was not winning when I looked, and I was surprised.
But you know what? This is not a Destiny's Child podcast.
Oh.
I mean, I wanted it to be when we first started throwing out ideas for our podcast. I said, I need to talk about the Yonts.
Wow, I don't know if anyone calls her that.
My grandpa used to call her Bayonts.
Yeah, Bay or Yonce.
Well, I just call her the Yonts. No, the Yonts.
You in the beehive?
Am I in the beehive? Is that what people call it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, making some honey money.
If you didn't know what it was called, I don't think that you're in the beehive.
Well, anyways, let's talk about Repo.
Okay.
That's why we're here. I don't want to make people... I don't want to force people to hear us talk about Beyonce when we're really here for Repo.
Anyone who's listening is here for Repo because it's such a widely known horror musical.
Everybody's talking about it. Word on the street is you got to see it,
yeah.
Apparently.
I guess so.
Before we talk about our reactions to Repo, I think we should tell people what had happened in the movie.
One thing that needs to be said is buckle up. Because it's a confusing ride.
Buckle your safety belts. That wasn't funny. I don't know why you laughed.
Because I thought there was going to be more to it, and there wasn't. So what had happened was, there was this girl, right? Her name is Shiloh.
Wait, was her name Outgoing High?
What?
Was her name Outgoing High? Or was it Shiloh?
Oh.
I am so embarrassed right now.
Nope, it just took too long for me to get what you're putting down. Okay, so basically, hold on, just back up because I started too soon.
Okay, back to reality.
Oh, so this musical starts in a time of 2056, okay?
Okay.
And in a year 2056, everybody needs surgery because... There was some sort of event that had happened that made everybody sick and people had to get like livers and like kidneys and whatnot. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm no doctor.
Doctor?
I hardly know her. So that became a thing. And so also it was kind of like, okay, it's expensive. We will help you, but you have to know that in the event you do not pay, we gonna have to track you down and extract the bodily parts from your body.
Your accent is lasting a long time this time. Oh. Which is fine. Normally it goes away and now it's getting stronger.
I got a lip transplant.
Oh, okay.
So I have a different accent now. Let's see. So your turn.
The repo man comes. If you can't pay for your organs, watch out. The repo man's going to get you. And he mm-hmm. won't just take the organs back. He'll probably kill you in the process, for sure. Spooky? Yeah. This is a horror musical. Guys.
Get used to it.
Unbeknownst to...
Ooh, good word.
Thank you. You don't even know what I was going to say.
I just love that word. It's like top five words.
So we mentioned Shiloh. Unbeknownst to her, her dad is like the ultimate repo man. Shiloh's infected or something. She can't go outside. Her dad makes her stay inside like a little monkey in a cage or something. And bird in a cage is probably a better analogy. Anyways, that's all I remember.
It might be important to know that there's the guy who's the head of Jinko, which is the company that does the possessions.
Yeah, they're like, what is Jinko? Is it just Gene Company? Like G-E-N-E, not Jinko, like the Gene Company,
correct.
Like the pants you wore in the 90s.
I did not wear them.
I wanted a pair of Jinkos so bad because that was cool. Let's be honest.
So it's important to know that guy, what's his name? Roddy.
Roddy.
Okay, classic gangster name.
Roddy with a body.
Or that. Roddy, he had Nathan's wife first. Her name is Marnie. That is Shiloh's mom. So like I said, buckle up because it's a little bit of a soap opera in here. But
it really is.
But so.
Also, wait, before you continue, I just want to point out, I said this during the musical, but we got Roddy, we got Marnie, we got Shiloh, and then we got Nathan.
And
come
Pavi.
On. Yeah, Pavi. We got like Amber Sweets or something. Mm-hmm. And then Nathan's just like plain old Nathan. Like, pick a better name, Nathan, right? It's the year 2056. Nathan's old fashioned. It's like somebody being named Bartholomew now.
Oh, wow. So Roddy had loved Marnie, and then Marnie had said no, and then Marnie had gone and married Nathan, and then they had a baby, and her name was Shiloh. Is everybody with me?
Yes, ma'am.
So good children. Okay. So now basically we have this kind of underlying feud happening where it's like Roddy, you know, he doesn't like Nathan because Nathan has stole his girlfriend. But he also kind of wants to like bring Shiloh in. I don't know why. I think maybe it's like kind of like that's his daughter that he never had because his daughter sucks. I don't know. He has some sort of connection there. He wants to kind of reel her in a little bit. I think that's pretty much it.
I guess there's this big opera at the night. There's this big opera happening that night, and Roddy's supposed to reveal who he's giving his company over to. Mm-hmm. And everybody thinks it's going to be one of his three kids, but he wants it to be Shiloh for some reason because he doesn't like his kids.
Shiloh LaBeouf. Pretty sure that's her name.
So that's pretty much the plot without giving too much away. But even if we did, I mean, come on. Spoilers abound in our
podcast. If you're listening to this, it's probably because you've decided you don't really want to watch it or you don't need to watch it.
Or you've already seen it. Well, okay, so let's talk about the musical now. Neither one of us had seen it.
Correct.
I didn't know what to expect at all.
Correct, as well. For me.
So, how did you feel about it? What were your reactions to this world of Roddy and Jinko and the Repo Man, the underground, the graveyard?
I'm scared.
Of me or the musical?
Both. Okay. So, here's the thing. Just, you know, a general overview. Didn't know what we were going into. And as we were going into it, I was like, I think I like that. Like, this is really interesting. I think the plot is super fascinating. The idea of repossessing people's kidneys and such, I think that's just fascinating. And I think it's a really good idea for a scary story. And then combining that with music, it's like, that's pretty cool. And I mean, we'll talk more about the music, but I mean, overall, it just had a really interesting kind of like a punk feel to it that still felt like a musical. I just think it was an interesting combination of styles.
Right. Yeah. It for sure feels like a musical, for sure.
Yeah. But like, it's not just like you feel like you're buying, you know, a goth album and then it's like, oh, there's some like acting. It's like still got that musical feel. Does that make
sense? Yeah. They blended a lot with the opera. They really embraced the opera element.
Yeah. So I liked that. I liked that it was interesting and unique. And I feel like it's unlike anything I've ever seen before.
As we were watching it, I found myself very confused as to what was going on. And I don't feel like I'm a dumb person. Like, I feel like typically I can follow things, and I felt like this was initially hard to follow. Now, once the movie was over, I kind of got the gist of what was happening. And then when I went back and listened to the soundtrack, I was like, oh, yeah, no, I totally get. Like, I was able to fill in the gaps of the confusion. But yeah, my initial reaction, there was a lot of questions. But yeah, but now looking back on the plot, I feel like you said, very soap opera-esque in kind of like a Shakespearean way. Like a lot of family drama, like the repo guy and the mayor of the town basically shared a wife, or, you know, shared a lover. And then they're fighting over the kid. And I don't know. Yeah, it's got some elements of that. But then with the futuristic goth feel to it, the music's confusing for me because I don't like that style of music. But there were some things where I felt like they did it very well. I forget what song. Oh, I do know what song, but we'll bring it up later. But there was one song where I looked at you and I said, I wish they would do this the whole time. Because it changed so much, which I'm fine with variety, but I just felt like sometimes it wasn't executed well. And this one specific song, I was like, yes, like do that. That one was really well done. And then listening back to the soundtrack, it sounds a lot better for some reason. I don't know, maybe it's just the link we were listening to when we watched it online. But like, it just sounded kind of flat. But when I listened to the soundtrack later on, it was really full. Yeah, this is one of those ones where, I don't know, like initially not really into it, still not my favorite thing, but things grew on me to where I was actually like finding myself smiling at some of it when I was listening to it, because I was like, it still confuses me because some of it's just still so well done and some of it I'm just like, ugh, like it's so cheesy in my opinion. And I think they know that, like when they acknowledge how goofy it is, like with silly sound effects, and it's sometimes it's filmed just really silly. For me, that was just, I don't know, swing and a miss. Not funny to me, even though it was supposed to be.
I think it did have a lot of funny elements. I mean, it just has a lot of elements. Like, it is horror, it is musical, but it is a little bit of comedy.
Yeah.
And I kind of like the combination of all those.
Yeah, it doesn't take itself too seriously. But I think part of my problem with that is I wanted it to be serious. Like, I didn't know what to expect, and so I was just thinking, oh, here we go. Goth, metal, musical, this is going to be interesting. And then it was just a little too silly, and I didn't like that.
Did you want more of the demon barber?
Oh, Sweeney Todd.
Yeah. Did you feel like it was, like, you wanted it to be more Sweeney Todd-like, where it was more serious and more gruesome?
Yeah, the tone Sweeney Todd has is very good. Now, it's okay. Like, change the music style, that's fine. But I feel like the tone, because Sweeney Todd's funny, but it's not like goofy. And that's just really bothered me about this. Because I think I told you, sometimes it just felt like they were like, wouldn't it be cool if we did this?
What's a good example of that?
Like when they're like throwing the heart around, when the two brothers are like throwing the heart around and one, like, it slips on the ground and like splats and it's just like. And that whole song is just, I mean, it's like, I don't know, it's like a 13-year-old wrote it and was like, oh, this would be so funny. You know what I mean?
Which song are you referring to?
I think it's called Mark It Up. Do you mind if we get into this now? Let's talk about least favorite songs, because that's mine. Boy, oh boy, is that mine.
What do you hate about it?
Just everything. They use a lot of foul language, which doesn't necessarily bother me, but it just seems so out of place in this movie.
Yeah.
That it just kind of ruined it for me. It was just like vulgar to the point of where I was like, why did they do that? It doesn't have that industrial metal feel to it as far as style goes. So it's a dramatic shift from some of the other stuff, because it's not metal and it's not opera, which is what this musical is good at. When it's like straight up metal, I'm like, good job. And when it goes straight up opera, I'm like, that sounded beautiful. And then when it strays from that, then it gets clunky and it just seems like a misfire. And this one was a huge misfire for me. What about you? What's your least favorite song?
My least favorite is 17.
17.
Because that's the one where she's doing her her angsty, you know, running around her room screaming about how, like, she's
17,
older than 16, something like that.
Yeah, like she says, like, sweeter than 16 or something. Or
is that when she makes like some sort of poke to her dad about, like, at least I'm not as old as you are?
Yeah, she's like, I'm 17, better than 40.
Going on 18.
No, but she said, like, she goes, better than 40. And yeah, it's like,
got him.
I know you're like a little kid and that's how 17-year-old girls act. But at the same time.
Yeah, I should say that, too. I mean, I definitely was like, oh, I know exactly what we're doing here. Like, this makes sense that this is happening. But the song itself was just kind of like,
it just comes off as super, super whiny. In my notes, I put Avril Lavigne or something.
Yeah.
Like, it's got that kind of whiny, like, she was a skater boy. She said, see you later, boy.
I was 17.
When I was 17, I liked that style of music, and now I do not.
Character development.
Yeah, that was not a good song. Are you going to cough or sneeze or something?
I was going to cough, and then.
You're afraid I would put it in the podcast?
Yeah. So I figured I better just hold it in.
That's smart. So, what about favorite song? What's the one that you were like, oh, yeah?
I'd like to hear your favorite song first.
My favorite song was the one that I said.
Which one is that?
I think it's called Come Back. It's right after Mags, who is this woman who has fake eyes. Mm-hmm. She comes to Shiloh and says, like, I'm your godmother, not grandmother.
Oh, isn't that called Chase the Morning?
Yeah, but I'm saying it's after that. So, Nathan comes home and he's like, Mags, get out of here. Why are you oughta?
Oh.
And he chases Shiloh upstairs. So it's actually right before 17. But there's a song called Come Back. And it's a short song, but it just sounds so good. And I'm like, I'm very picky about the metal music I listen to. Mm-hmm. But I love the ones that are just like super riffy. And this one just has like some good guitar licks in it. And I was like, do this all the time, please. But they don't. But
I need to go back and listen to that because I want to hear it. The glory that you speak of.
Well, and it's got good guitar riffs, but then it's also like it's really good at conveying like the dialogue as well. Because sometimes this musical, and I know it's an opera, but occasionally like the song at the very beginning, I think it's called Genetic Repo Man. It's a little bit too much like, hey, and now I'm going to tell you the plot. This is what's going on. And it's very expository. And I don't know. And this one it didn't feel like that. It actually felt like they were acting and not just trying to be like, okay, just in case you're missing it, here's what's going on.
Right. Here's what's happened on Repo, the genetic opera.
Last time on.
I feel that. So I tried to go listen to the soundtrack, and on Spotify, they only had like 6 or 7 of the songs.
Yeah, I never trust Spotify for musical
musical really soundtracks. Yeah, it's really irritating. Spotify, get on it. We need you. So that being said, I would be able to give a better answer if I could kind of go through and listen to them all in order. But I did like Night Surgeon.
Mm-hmm.
That one stood out to me. Mm-mm-mm-mm-mm.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
Night Surgeon.
Yeah, he's like, I remember.
Yeah, yeah.
Remember what you did to money.
Yep. Remember.
Come Back goes, come back, leave it down,
but I like that because I think it's catchy. And there's a lot going on in that scene. And just like in a horror musical, like that just seems so appropriate to be like, Night Surgeon! I'd be like stabbing people. Like, that's just.
Oh, that's right. That's the one where he has. Yeah, that's the one where the guy's like in the chair and he's just like totally slaughtering him.
But then you've got the Roddy. He's there too, and he's like singing.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got his like very high opera voice on, and it's just a combination of like Night Surgeon. Oh! And it's just so good.
You know, it's parts like that where I feel like maybe it's the way it was filmed. I just didn't like it aesthetically. But like, I feel like that could have been really creepy. But the way it was filmed just kind of felt a little like, I don't know, amateur, maybe? It felt like the movies I used to rent with my friends in high school. Like, we would go like find these lame horror movies like The Ginger Dead Man.
Oh, you know?
So it's just like very low budget. So, and I don't want to knock it for that. Like, I mean, I just want to judge it for what it is. But at the same time, like, I wish it was something else.
I understand that.
I remember.
What you did. Night Surgeon.
And then there's a song called Things You See in a Graveyard. And I wrote that it sounds like Cirque du Soleil. I don't know if you've ever listened to a Cirque du Soleil soundtrack.
You know what? I don't think that I have.
I saw Cirque du Soleil a few years ago, and that song is like, something about it was very much like, I don't know, like there should have been people doing acrobatics on stage. Because the thing about Cirque du Soleil is like, it's this weird circus feel, and there's like a lady like on a like a high wire singing opera and stuff, and it's just this weird mishmash of stuff. And that's kind of what this musical felt like now and then.
Yeah, I feel that. Suck on that.
I want to hear some facts. Give me some facts.
All right, would you like to hear some facts?
I would love to hear some facts. And see, here's the thing. I normally do facts, and I couldn't for this one because I didn't want to know anything. I wanted you to tell it to me, and it was frustrating because I was so curious to learn stuff about it. So I'm, look at me. I'm on the edge of my seat, obviously.
Oh, no. I don't think this is going to like pan out to be as like satisfying as you think.
Well, I mean, that's why we call it Rate My Facts, because I'm going to rate your facts and we'll see. Oh. Does James like Elise facts today?
This is just too spooky for me.
Play that theme song. Rate my
fact. And that's a fact. Can you put like a ghost sound in the background so that it sounds spooky?
Like a ghost version of the theme song?
Yeah.
Sure.
All right. Why not? Awesome. Okay. All right, are you ready?
I am ready. Bring on the facts.
Okay.
Show me the car facts.
Oh, boy. This is not a fact, but I meant to say this earlier, and I forgot.
Okay.
But when we were talking about alternate titles, one of their taglines that I really liked is, not your parents' opera.
Okay.
Ah, and I wanted that to be your alternate title. First of all, did you know, this is not a fact, I'm just asking, did you know that it was originally a stage play?
I did know that. Okay. I accidentally saw that somewhere.
Yeah, that's fine.
But I mean, yeah, 2002 or something like that?
2001.
Wow, I was way off.
So, get your head in the game.
Yeah, that would be interesting to see because, like I said, part of the reason I didn't like it is just the way it was filmed. So, I wonder if I would like it more as a stage play. I bet you I would.
I bet you. I would. Okay, fact number one. The producers have stated that this film is really just the middle part of a planned trilogy. The next chapter would have been a prequel to the events shown in this film, and it would have been titled Repo: The Beginning.
That's kind of interesting, because why would you start in the middle? I mean, I guess Star Wars did that.
Star Wars, I remember. And then that's when they would jump back to the other movie.
Back to reality.
Oh, Repo?
I like that fact because I feel like I liked a lot about this musical, but there was a lot I really didn't like really, really didn't like. Like just, boy. It made me cringe.
Wow.
And so I would hope if they did another one, they would have a chance to redeem themselves in my eyes.
Mm-hmm.
So I want them to do that. So I like that fact. I'll give it an 8.
Whew, I like that. That's good. I like that. Where the money at? All right, fact number 2. The song, I Didn't Know I'd Love You So Much, was originally a lullaby that composer Darren Smith sang to his son.
About not knowing he loved his son?
I didn't know I'd love you so much.
Oh, I didn't know I'd.
Yeah.
That apostrophe D is a big...
I'd.
Yeah, okay. That's interesting. That's kind of sweet. It's kind of weird that he took this song with such meaning to him and put it like at the end of this graphic... scene.
Yeah.
The dad is dying and...
But hey, if you can make money off of something, do it. That's what I always say.
But I don't know. I didn't really like that song. I felt like I was supposed to feel sentimental, but I didn't. Well, it was emotional, but I didn't connect with it.
It's conflicting, though, because, well, we didn't spoil it yet, but I guess we could spoil it now.
Yeah. Spoil. Spoil away. Spoil our little babies.
Okay. Basically, it's conflicting because we find out that Nathan has been poisoning his daughter all these years so that she thinks she has this blood condition, but she don't. You know, at the end of the road, he's dying and they're both saying, I didn't know I'd love you so much, but we're kind of like, well, he's been poisoning you for sure.
Yeah. Like, I understand from his point of view, maybe he was like living a delusion, you know? So then in that moment, he kind of felt like, I didn't know you would grow up to be like this. But from her point of view, her dad has been poisoning her. So then to look back at him and be like, no, dude, I totally get it. Like, that's weird.
I don't think she says, I totally get it, but she's
Well, but when you're saying, I didn't know I loved you so much, like, it's like an apology.
But when someone's dying, I think you're just kind of ready to, like, be nice to them.
So you think she was lying? She was Lilo in that moment.
Shy Lai. I think you're just overcome with grief in that moment. And so it's just kind of like you don't think about what bad things they've done. You just want to celebrate the good stuff.
Okay, that's fair.
If it's your own father.
So anyways, but it was a lullaby. Okay, so it's only kind of interesting to me.
That's fine.
I'll give it a 6.
Okay, I'll take it. Take it and run. All right, third fact. The band members of the Genetic Opera are wearing masks because originally the film was only allowed to have 20 extras.
Yeah, it didn't feel like there was a lot of people in this movie until like the opera at the very end. Then there's like a crowd.
Yeah.
All right. Guess that's an interesting fact.
Okay.
I'll give you another 6.
All right. Last fact. As you know, the director, I guess you say it like Boozman?
Okay. I don't know.
You know that he helped direct the Saw movies.
Okay. Yes. And I liked the first Saw. I saw them all in theaters, I think.
I think you liked more than the first one.
I enjoyed a lot of them, but I really liked the first one.
Yeah, I watched most of them 2 years ago. The director, he was a part of directing those. And Lionsgate is the company that put those out. He could not get Lionsgate on board with this. So that low budget feeling that you're getting is because he financed 90% of the musical himself.
Yeah.
He took it on a cross-country trip and he handed out flyers to college kids to get them to see the movie. He did not really have a lot of help and a lot of finances. So that's kind of why he did the best he could.
Well, good for him. But like, I feel like if I was a movie producer, I would have been right there with him. As in, like, if he would have brought me that idea, I would have been like, I'm not going to give you money for this. This sounds ridiculous. You know, having seen it, I see the potential in it. But just the initial idea, I think I would have been like, no, absolutely not. Like, I think it's probably wise for the movie studios to have turned him down.
Well, you know, upon investigating, it just seems like this little dude, this was like his dream. Like, this was his baby. He really, really badly wanted to make this. So, I mean, I'm proud of him for getting out there.
Hey, yeah, I mean,
and doing props. All that himself and just really making it happen, even though against all odds, you know what I mean?
Nah, I know what you mean.
So rate that fact.
Oh, right. No, that's good. It's interesting that he went out to college campuses to try to get people like really pumped about it or whatever. Because I feel like this movie really is like a cult classic. I think a lot of people really like it, but it's very underground. I'll give that a 7. Just like the Hickeys in Greece.
Yep, I always think of Seventh Heaven.
I feel like I think of Greece and you think of Seventh Heaven whenever we pick a 7. That's just going to happen.
Every time. Can't change who I am. All right. So now, are you ready to play Fact or Faked?
I'm ready. Bring on the Fact or Faked. Play that theme song.
Fact or Faked.
That's a fact, baby.
Is it over?
Yeah. I put a spooky ghost sound on that one, too.
Spooky ghost. All right. Fact or Faked. Here we go. Number one.
Number one.
The character Pavi is wearing a face, and the face is actually a mold of the director's girlfriend.
Ooh, creepy.
Yeah.
Weird.
Yeah. So that's your fact number one.
Okay.
All right, number two. The grave robber in this film was formerly in a punk rock band in high school.
Okay.
All right, number three. Most of Amber Sweet's costumes were Paris Hilton's actual clothes.
Oh, man.
So do with that what you will.
Because Paris Hilton plays Amber Sweet. We never said that, but
yes,
we didn't really realize it until the end of the movie.
We should have brought that up.
Paris Hilton's in this movie, if it gives you any idea how great it is. Okay, so Paris Hilton's clothes. We got Grave Robber was a punker.
Mm-hmm.
And
Pavi's face is the director's girlfriend's.
I feel like that one's true because it's creepy. And I mean, you can think of creepy stuff probably, but like, that's just really disturbing, I think. Okay.
So that's the only line I know, so I've got to keep singing it.
What about surgery? Surgery.
Night surgeon!
Okay.
Yeah, they're all good.
Okay, so it's between Paris Hilton's clothes and the Grave Robber. The Grave Robber, does it say like what he played in the band?
Nope.
Yeah, because if he played an instrument, I could see it, but I feel like his voice isn't really punk rock.
You wouldn't listen to him.
No, absolutely not. His voice, well, he's the one guy, I felt like his voice was the cheesiest out of all of them. When he starts singing, it's very much like, hey, everybody, I'm the graveyard guy. I'm going to steal stuff. You know, like.
What is it like?
Watch out, the repo man's going to get you. And then it'll like scream randomly.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's not, he, super cheesy. Didn't like that.
I found him really like interesting though. Like.
Nah.
No? Not at all?
No.
I feel like he brought a little bit of the funny vibe.
I didn't find him funny. I found.
You just
found
too offended by the cheesiness.
Yeah, I think that's really what it was. Like, I kept picturing him just like as a businessman in real life, and he just got an acting job, and they were like, here, put this makeup on.
He's
so like every time I, and he had the long hair, but it just all felt fake. And every time I saw him, I just pictured him like going off set and taking the wig off and calling his kids and being like, hey, gotta tuck you in later. I'll be home soon.
But like, here's a, just, can we derail for a second to say that you really like horror comedies? What makes this different from a horror comedy to you?
I think it's the cheesiness factor. I like horror comedies.
But aren't comedies cheesy? I mean, isn't that the whole...
No, no. Cheesy. When I say cheesy, I don't mean, like, funny.
Mm-hmm.
Like, cheesy is like a wannabe, like a poser. Like, that kind of cheesy. And I feel like this musical was like a cheesy version of music I actually do like. So that's what kind of rubbed me the wrong way on a lot of it, was because I actually do like metal music a lot, but I like the stuff that's like really in your face and tough. And this didn't feel tough to me. It felt like the commercialized, like the MTV version of metal, you know?
Mm-hmm.
What were we talking about though? Why did we bring that up? Oh, because the punk band.
Yeah. But anyways, we can get back to this. I just wanted to know what the difference for you was between the comedy horror and this.
You know how like some people act awkward on purpose and it's funny? And then you have the guy that doesn't know he's being awkward and it's funny? And you kind of feel sad for him? That's what I felt like this was. I felt like it wasn't trying to do it on purpose. So when it was like funny to me, it wasn't trying to be funny. The Grave Robber's voice, when he's like, let me tell you a story about the Repo Man. I'm like, oh boy, like, dude, do you know that sounds dumb? Do you know how silly you sound right now? I don't think you do.
I just have to say that I disagree, and I thought that it was supposed to be cheesy and supposed to be kind of like not taking itself seriously. Because it's still, even being that way, it's still interested me, and it still kind of like was drawing me in, like, what's gonna happen? Like, I am interested. Like, this is cool.
Yeah, I never got that feeling.
So back to Factor Faked.
I'm gonna go with the punk band guy. I think that's fake. I think you made that up.
All right, final answer.
Final answer.
Bada bing, bada boom. Mr. Worldwide steps outside the room.
I don't know what that means, but I think that means I got it right.
That means you got it right.
Whoop, whoop, whoop.
Terrence Zdunik.
Zadunik?
I don't know how you say his name. But
that's probably it.
That's him. I just always thought it was so funny when he was like, Graves! I love that. I thought, because every time when it happened in the movie, I like would jump. Because it just is surprising, because he's just kind of talking and then all of a sudden he screams. When I was listening to the, you know, six songs on the soundtrack that I found, that was one of them. And so I'm not really paying attention to what the song is. And then it happened again. 21st
Century Cure. The 21st Century Cure.
But then it happened again and I like jumped again and I got so scared.
I think his songs made me laugh the most, and not in a good way.
Okay.
But because they made me laugh, I did find them very entertaining. Mm-hmm. 21st Century Cure is one of the songs he sings. And I put, it sounds like a metal cover of Nightmare Before Christmas songs. Because it, like, the main character in Nightmare Before Christmas kind of has a similar voice, but whenever people do, like, heavy metal covers of Nightmare Before Christmas, that's what a lot of this musical sounded like. He also sang that Zydrate Anatomy song, where he was like, surgery, surgery.
Before we do lyrics, I have one more thing I want to do, and this is called Singer, I Hardly Know Her.
Okay, I like this segment.
So, we're going to talk today about Alexa L.S. Penavega.
Penavega.
It's her full name. She's 29 like years old. She is a pasta.
Mm-hmm.
And she plays the character of Shiloh. Okay.
Shiloh is 29?
No, I'm saying Alexa's 29 currently. Shiloh's 17.
When was this movie made? I don't even know.
2008.
So minus 9. So she's around 20 when it was made. Okay, got it.
Okay, so here's what we're going to do. I'm going to give you 3 facts about her. At the end of those facts, you get to decide how you want to use those facts in order to convince her that she has some sort of disease. Okay?
Gosh.
And so that you can poison her and control her. Number one, she's married to a guy named Carlos. His last name was Pena. So they combined their two last names into Pena Vega.
So her last name was originally just Vega?
Yeah, so her name was Alexa Vega.
Interesting. Okay.
So I thought that was fascinating. All right. Number two, she played the role of Penny in the Broadway production of Hairspray in 2007. Penny is the Amanda Bynes character.
I feel like this movie's a step down from Hairspray on Broadway, you know?
I think she was drawn into how
you were
going
to say drunk.
No. Nope.
I think she was drunk.
She's only 17. And she's only 20. And she actually filmed it, so...
No, true. Well, you can still get drunk if you're 20. It's just not legal.
Illegal. Don't tell the kids that. All right. Fact number three. She revealed one time that she almost killed one of her sisters because they were shooting a horror movie together, and she put a noose around her neck and hung her from a tree.
Oh, boy.
So, anyways.
Alexa, what are you doing?
Yeah, you gotta watch out. Just for the movie magic. So those are your 3 facts, and now you have to decide what you're going to do with them.
And now what am I?
So you're going to use these facts in whatever way you see fit, or don't use them at all. And you're going to convince her that she's got some sort of disease.
Then I would use I would use the last one for sure. I would say, hey, Alexa, listen up. Try to kill your sister. You got mental problems. Okay. You only think you were filming a horror movie. There's no cameras around here, little girl. You need to take some medicine. Take this medicine. Get in your bed. Don't go outside. You're dangerous. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I would do if I had to.
You do have to.
I don't want to do this to Alexa Penavega.
All right. We're done with that. And now cool. Lyrics.
This movie has a lot of songs, a lot of lyrics. Let's get into it. Test my knowledge. I saw this once. I listened to the soundtrack once. Bring it on. I want to see what I can get right.
Well, you seem to have more knowledge than I thought you would about these lyrics.
Oh, thank you. No, I really appreciate that. You didn't have to say that, but like, oh, that's so sweet. That's Amber Sweets.
Okay. Just were ready for that.
Hey, wait a second. I gotta know. What song is that from?
So I feel like you are going to know these. Are you ready? First lyric, a little glass vial, a little glass vial.
Okay, yeah, I know that one. That's a Zydrate Anatomy.
You nailed it. Ding, dang, dong.
And then you put this vial next to your anatomy. I don't know. What?
But see, like, I was jamming to that song.
No, but why? It sounds... I literally wrote... Because I feel like... Sounds like a kid wrote it. A little glass vial, a little glass vial.
But that's the thing. That's what makes it so, like, funny and cheesy. And, like, and the fact that you... Remember, because when we were watching it, he was like... A little glass vial, or she says, a little glass vial, and I was like, a little glass vial, because I felt like I could participate, because I knew how it would go.
Yeah, but that's fun
for me.
Yeah, but do you think they meant for it to be fun in that way? I don't think so. That's the thing. If you don't know you're being funny, it's not funny. It's sad.
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 Well, I don't know. I mean, I feel like maybe we need our audience here to watch the movie and... Let us know if they think that he was going for comedy a little bit or not at all.
Okay, that's fine.
I just kind of feel like we should pull everybody together and kind of...
I'm interested to hear what people think, too. Will it change my opinion?
Nobody I know has ever seen this. So it's one of those things where I'm like, I don't know.
You don't know what people's opinions are of this movie. A little glass vial, a little glass vial.
I just think that's fun. Okay. Sometimes I'd stay up all night wishing... To God, that I was the one who died. Sometimes there's not enough time.
I feel like that's something that, I don't know. Several people could have said that. Roddy could have said that morning about Marnie. Nathan could have said that morning about Marnie. Shiloh could have said that, just saying, like, I wish I was dead and my mom was still alive.
Shiloh Buff?
No. Wait, is that things you see in a graveyard?
No.
I thought that was when Roddy was at the
wait,
Marnie's grave.
Wait, what if
grave.
I sing it like this? Sometimes I'd stay up all night wishing to God that I was the one who died.
Sometimes there's not enough time. I didn't know I'd love you so much.
There you go. You got it. You nailed it on your second try.
Yeah. I don't think that's called nailing it.
I'm trying to be encouraging. All right. So you got one right, got one wrong. Ain't no thing. Okay. So why care for these petty obsessions? Your designer heart still beats with common blood.
Petty obsessions, you say.
I do say. You got this.
I really don't. 21st Century Cure.
Grapes! That means you got it.
Oh, sweet.
That's what I was going to say in case you didn't get it, but you got it, so I said it anyway.
You just had to get it out there.
I really just put that in there so I could scream graves. So, two right, one wrong. Not bad. All right, let's do... Though the imprint is deep in me, it will always be up to me.
Heh?
You heard.
Though the imprint is deep in me. That's got to be Shiloh singing, right?
Shiloh Buff. You got to remember. It's not that one.
Okay.
No, I'm just... Getting my chance in to sing that one.
Is it Infected?
No.
I am infected. I didn't like that song either.
I know, you didn't.
I like the beginning of it, and then it gets really emo, and she tries to like sound really gravelly in her voice.
And she's like, infected.
Yeah.
Dad,
what'd you do to me? Sorry.
No, that's fine. You just sound like an 80-year-old smoker.
Oh, thanks.
Will you sing those lyrics in your 80-year-old smoker voice?
Though the imprint is deep in me, it will always be up to me.
Now I think you sound like an 80-year-old smoker who also has congestion in his nose. So would you like to hear the actual answer to that one? That's genetic emancipation. So that's at the very end.
I was going to say that.
After she knows the truth. And she doesn't have to be medicated anymore, and she can do what she wants. So, what does that put us at? Two right, two wrong?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let's do one more.
Yeah, let's do a tiebreaker.
Tiebreaker! Night Surgeon! I'm going with this one. You want the world for nothing. Commence your groveling.
Phew, you want the world for nothing. That sounds like something Roddy would say. Commence your groveling for sure, Roddy. Classic Roddy.
Roddy with a body.
I bet he's saying that to his kids, too. I'm barking up the right tree. I just don't know what the name of the tree is. I don't know what kind of... Is this an elk? Is this an oak?
An elk?
Elm. I mixed oak and elm.
Oh, I was... was like, I'm pretty sure you said elk.
I'm barking up the wrong elk.
No wonder you're not getting there.
Thankless job. This is thankless job.
Are you sure?
Sure.
Mm-mm. Thankless job is the one that Nathan sings as he uses the guy as his puppet.
Oh, he sticks his hand
inside the guy's intestines. But that's kind of interesting, right? Like,
I mean,
if you had the opportunity to use another guy as your puppet, would you do it?
It's lame. No, lame. You lame to do that in a movie.
That's
lame.
That's so interesting, though.
Lame.
Okay. I disagree with you, but
okay,
whatever. So this song was Things You See in a Graveyard, which you had talked about earlier, so I thought you'd get that one.
Things you see in a graveyard. And then Roddy goes, keep these vultures guessing.
Yeah,
I'll keep these vultures guessing.
I was going to put that in, but I thought that was
too obvious.
Too easy.
Yeah, I don't know. This musical, man, it'll... Oh, I lost. So, yay. I lost,
but you won the Factor Faked, so that's something.
Well, that is something. But what I was going to say is this musical, it really... I feel like parts of it could grow on me, but not in like a... Not in a way where, like, I actually enjoy it, but just, like, in a kind of funny sort of, like, oh, I remember this song. And then I enjoy it as, like, ironically, you know?
Yeah. I think you're allowed, though, to enjoy this ironically.
Well, then I do. Because like, I would definitely say, like, if somebody was like, hey, we're going to watch it, I'd be like, oh, heck yes. Like, if somebody else was really into it, I'd be like, all right, put it on. And then I'd get, like, really into it because it would be funny. But, like, do I actually like it? Not that much.
Right. This isn't the type of movie where you'd be like, this is a masterpiece. I'm going to write 10 reviews on it. I'm going to tell everyone I know. But, on the other hand, you'd be like, I enjoyed that. That's fun.
Yeah, somebody on Twitter, I can't remember who said it, but if you're listening, you know who you are. They said if you have, most people haven't heard of it, and most people who have seen it don't like it.
Oh, but that was about this?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But he said he really liked it. So I know there are people that are just like, yeah, I really dig this.
I think it would have helped to know a little bit about what we were going into. Kind of being like prefaced with, okay, it's low budget. And this guy, you know, this is like his dream little baby child thing he was trying to do. And it's kind of cheesy, but you kind of have to just embrace it and kind of, you know, give the old pep talk before you walk into it, because we didn't really know what was going on.
Well, that's a good point, because I actually, once I started listening to the soundtrack again, I kind of went, oh, I like some of these songs now that I'm hearing them again. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I want to go back and watch this. But I didn't, because when it came down to it, I was like, nah, there's other things to do. So it's like, there is a bit of me that's like, oh, but that part's really cool. I would want to watch it again. Mm-hmm. But also a part of me that goes, oh, wait, like, I don't actually care about it enough to actually follow through on that desire.
I do think, though, if there's anybody out there who likes horror and likes musicals, they should watch it.
Yeah. And if you like that style of goth, like Marilyn Manson style music, what's that one? My Chemical Romance. I feel like if you like that style, that you would like this. So anyways, do you want to rate this? We've been talking about this long enough. Let's rate it.
Yep. Rating on the world to change.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So not my favorite. Mm-hmm. It had some interesting musical elements. I want to say this. I think visually did not enjoy it at all. Just because of the low budget production.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't really enjoy it. Some things it's like, do what you can. And I feel like they tried to do more than they could probably afford. And when you do that, it can tend to look a little bit amateur.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like maybe if they would have scaled things back, they could have pulled it off without it looking so hokey.
Right.
So like visually, I just thought it wasn't pulled off very well. Plot is actually not that bad. I kind of liked the plot as a horror story. I kind of wish it didn't have the singing. This is one of the things where I was like, maybe the singing kind of ruined it for me. Yeah.
Wow.
Like, I feel like I would really enjoy this movie just strictly for the plot. And so, like, yeah, musically, it's not my favorite style of music, but it did have some good stuff. And revisiting it was very enjoyable, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give it a 5 because I'm right in the middle. I probably wouldn't rewatch it again, but I'm not opposed to rewatching it again if somebody else wanted to. And I probably wouldn't listen to it again unless it was like mixed in on a playlist with other musical songs. That's the only, like, you know, I would never sit down and listen to the whole playlist. Mm-hmm. I mean, the whole soundtrack. But if it popped up, I would be like, like in between waving through a window not throwing away my shot. If all of a sudden things you see in a graveyard popped up.
You wouldn't be angry.
No, I wouldn't be angry. I would listen to it. I wouldn't skip it.
5, Barely Staying Alive, which is appropriate for our spooky musical month of October.
Yeah. Spooky.
Excuse me?
Spooky.
Okay. Good. Glad. So my rating. I'm going to give it, well, I want to talk about it first and I'll give it a rating at the end. One other thing that I was going to mention is that it kind of reminded me of, I feel like you're not going to like this. But it kind of reminded me of like a Tim Burton vibe. And
no,
you're probably going to say Tim Burton's way better than he is, but
yeah, okay. No, continue. Sorry.
No, go ahead.
I'm like a huge Tim Burton fan and studied his stuff.
So
like,
that offends you.
Well, it doesn't just offend me, but I just feel like it's inaccurate. It doesn't feel like Tim Burton at all.
To me,
Tim Burton has a very specific style, and this had none of that.
To me.
No, but here's the thing, though. Tim Burton has a gothic style, but it's a very specific style of gothic. This is just gothic, but it doesn't have that twist, that Tim Burton flair that he has. So just because something's gothic doesn't mean it's Tim Burton.
Well, I'm not saying it's exclusively that, and I'm not saying it is that at all. I'm just saying it gave me like flashbacks and vibes to
Sweeney Todd.
But
do you not feel like it visually, it looks completely different than Sweeney Todd?
Oh, I mean, it's a million times better.
Sweeney Todd is?
Well, yeah, visually and all that good stuff.
But what are the similarities? What? Explain to me that then.
Just kind of
convince
like...
convince me.
Like basically, okay, coming into this musical, not knowing anything, like at all. So immediately it's giving me Edward Scissorhand vibes. It's giving me...
What about it though?
What do you mean what about it though? It's a totally different type of movie. It's not this normal like...
But what
upbeat.
About Edward Scissorhands is the same as Repo?
I'm saying that it's a similar vibe. Like,
have you ever seen it?
Yeah, I have, like, twice.
I think I know what you're saying. I just don't...
Yeah, I don't know how to explain it. That's the problem. Well, I'm not talking about just visually. Like, I'm just talking about, like, in general, like, just kind of a very wide tooth comb.
You're saying the subject matter could be, if Tim Burton got his hands on this, he could direct it and it would be good.
Yeah. Like,
because it's not that far off from something he would venture into
creating.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
Okay, I get that. I agree with that. It would look completely different.
I never was saying it looked like he, like, it's not like you put it in front of me and I said, is this Tim Burton? Because it looks just like his stuff. Like, I didn't say that. I just meant like the... I mean, when you think about Sweeney Todd and the subject matter there about him chopping people's heads off and et cetera, et cetera. And
yeah, because like of revenge and the themes there.
All the gruesome
yeah.
stuff that comes along with that. It's very dark and it's very brooding and this and that. So I'm just saying, like, this is a similar, like, the idea of repossessing organs and the fact that, like, and part of my rating, too, has to do with the fact that yeah, it can be cheesy or it can be funny or you can laugh at it sometimes, but it also, the actual storyline is very interesting to me. And then on top of that, we've got this, again, you could call it cheesy, but this underlying message of addiction and always striving for perfection and constantly feeling like you need to change or adjust for people to like you, for you to feel like you're worthy. Just there's a lot of obviously that going on and what a mess you get into when you feel like you have to keep improving and then now you're in debt and now you can't pay your debts and now you're going to die. And I mean, it just is like a domino effect. And I think that idea by itself is just really interesting.
So what are you rating it then?
So I'm rating it, I'm going to give it a 7.2.
7.2.
Would watch again. Would tell other people to watch it. With a disclaimer of here's what you need to know ahead of time. Here's what I would have wanted to know.
Very, very true. Well, those are our ratings then. Repo, you did it. You got us to watch you, for better, for worse.
For richer or poor.
So that's it. That's our repo episode. No takesies, backsies. Mm. No repo that. No repo that? That doesn't make sense.
Don't repossess this episode.
That makes more sense than what I said.
You could repo play it.
No.
Yeah, I'm done.
Well, guys, let's talk about next week, because we're going to still be in October. We're still doing horror musicals. And this next one, I don't know if you would necessarily call it a full-blown musical, not in the traditional sense, but it very much has musical elements in it. And I think they're great. Next week, we are doing Corpse Bride. Mm-hmm. Speaking of Tim Burton,
have you seen him.
Corpse
I don't think I have.
You haven't seen Corpse Bride?
Mm-mm. I feel like when we watch it, I might be like, oh, I feel like I've seen a little bit of this, but definitely haven't seen the whole thing.
It's an interesting movie. I'm excited to hear what you think. I'm excited to say what I think. And I'm excited to see what you guys come up with for an alternate title for Corpse Bride. So follow us on Twitter at WRLM Podcast. Or on Instagram at We Really Like Musicals, and give us those alternate titles. What would you have called Corpse Bride? Bring it on. Make it funny, because this week, guys, nobody knew about Repo. So yeah, guys, that's going to do it for this episode of We Really Like Musicals, and we have opinions about them, so we made this podcast to tell you our opinions about them, parentheses, the musicals. I'm James, and...
And I'm Elise.
And bye.
See ya.
Graves! Musicals.